Alrighty. Hello, everybody. I see some familiar faces. Some of you guys have been here every day, so awesome. Hi, everyone. I'm Alani. I'm with South by Southwest. I'm one of the music conference programmers doing these amazing demo listening sessions. Before I hand it off to our amazing panelists, I just wanted to give a little housekeeping and just let you guys know the rundown. So the people that got the ticket, we will call your artist name and then you will come to the mic, introduce yourself really, really quickly. We want to get this going, get as many of you guys accommodated as possible. So just introduce yourself, maybe give some context on the song, and then we'll listen to it 45 to 50 seconds. Our amazing panelists will give their feedback, and the next artist will come up. So we'll try to get to as many of you guys as possible, and at the end, we'll leave it up to you if you guys want to do a Q&A or keep listening to some music. Sound good? All right, the floor is yours. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Cameron Koval. I work at a company called Open Management, where we manage a diverse roster of artists and mostly in the indie rock space. And then I also consult for a few labels under Electro Music Group. And so super excited today to get to hear some new music from you guys. It's a whole awesome team up here of people in different positions. And so I think it'll be really cool to get to hear feedback from all of us in different ways.
Hi, my name is Maura Duval Griffin. I run a company called Eternal Music Group. I came up through the land of music supervision, focusing mainly on movie trailers. But now we're building a catalog of music that is we're seeking sync licenses across all media. So most of my feedback perspective, I think, will come from my experience in sync. Worked in a lot of facets of the music industry on my way here, but that's kind of my main focus.
Hello, my name is Justin Polikoff. I am Senior Director of A&R at Warner Chappell based in LA. Been at Warner for about 3 years, was at BMG for about 10 before that. I've done like I think 4 or 5 of these at this point. And like I think the thing I always like to say is that don't listen to what any of us tell you. Like the biggest thing that'll get you pushed through is persistence. If music is inherently subjective, and what one person thinks is garbage, it's gonna be what one person's gonna bring to the top. So keep pushing, keep driving. It doesn't matter what we think. If you believe in it and you keep pushing and you think it's going to rise to the top, it'll rise to the top.
That's true. But the key thing is make it be, it's got to be fun, because it's a lot of work and you get a lot of rejection, you just have to have a smile on your face and keep it fun. But my name's Jody Stevens. I played drums in a band called Big Star in the 70s and then through the 90s and stuff, and played drums in a band called Golden Smog, and I have a duo now called Those Pretty Wrongs. We're working on our fourth record. I've been on the business side of things. I help with marketing at Ardent Studios in Memphis. It's a company that's been around since '66, with started with Stax Artist and Otis, not Otis Redding, actually, Isaac Hayes and Staple Singers and Led Zeppelin, mixed Led Zeppelin III there, through Big Star and then Jack White and Rockin' Tours and REM, Steve Earle, a bunch of folks have recorded there, and we're just undergoing a massive renovation, and we'll reopen our doors in October. So I wouldn't have felt so qualified had it not been for my current duo, because we're going through the process, have been going through the process for the last 8 years that you're going through now. So, but anyway, that's it. Glad to be here. Glad to be here with these folks.
All right, let's get started. Y'all ready to listen to some music? Yeah? Okay. Artist number one, we have Tai Chi. Come up.
Hello, my name is Tai Chi. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and the song is called Paradise.
Hey, take me back to the 80s, the land of smooth like ladies, driving vintage Mercedes, look straight out of a movie screen. Take me back to the 90s, I rock my dreads like a Molly, more smoke than a holly, just like the magazines. It must be paradise living in another time zone. A world without an iPhone, touch me, this can't be real. Baby, it must be nice living with no consequences and all the struggles missing. Baby, you can't be real.
Just in case, that was a bop. That's such a great, breezy, fun, like summery song, kind of like in that Bakar vein, but a little cleaner in terms of like that pop. I would definitely want to hear more of that song. I want to put it in a summer playlist. I want to sit in the pool and sip a drink. Like that's a great track.
Thank you.
Berkeley.
No, just at my house.
All right. It's like I've asked that every person is from Boston.
I'm actually not from Boston, from Springfield, but you wouldn't know Springfield.
Actually, no, I did UMass, right? Like, it's like further west.
I'm yeah.
My dad coast. Grew up in Springfield. Oh, okay, I used to have to go to Springfield all the time.
I just say Springfield because it's Boston because it's easier.
I'm from New Hampshire.
Okay.
Big ups, Nashua 603.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was cool. I think it's vibey. I think that's, that's why I was asking where you're located. So I think it's the kind of thing you kind of use, get to a city that's a bit of a core and try to build around a bit. I think you would get sessions off of that. I think you'll be able to progress a bit from that. Boston's a great city for it, whether that through V3, Berkeley or otherwise. But yeah, I think that's right. I think it's especially, I guess we need sync. I think that's especially sounds really good for sync. Just from a publishing A&R perspective, like it's breezy, like it works really well across medias. I'm not a sync person. I'm an A&R guy, so I'm not qualified to speak too far down that rabbit hole. But that's the kind of thing from an A&R perspective, we're like, yeah, that would hit for sync.
Okay. Yeah, that was fun. Your voice has a lot of presence, and rhythmically it was cool. It bounced and hopped. And I only one suggestion is that, and this could happen in another part of the song that we didn't hear, it was that it building up, and it'd be nice if there was a release and just where you would hold notes. Or...
Yeah, there is. Okay. I only had 45 seconds.
But... Yeah. Right. So, yeah, that was awesome.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say, yeah, awesome song, great. Just like comparison of the whole Bakar world that's kind of popping off right now. But I think be super fun to see that song live. Like I think for songs like that, there's this easy listening aspect, but also when you can go and crush it live, it makes it so much more like it kind of sticks in your brain. And like that song would be really, really cool to see live. So I think it'd be cool to see how you wrap your head around performing that song live, because it's definitely like a one that you keep your foot kind of tapping along to.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah. Great way to start.
All right, Toka.
Hi, I'm Risa Elledge Toka from New York City. I operate a recording studio, all analog, in Princeton, New Jersey. This song is called Love Shock. I wrote it. We'll just start it from the beginning. You're going to be listening to the Disco Link. It's streaming. I would only really recommend listening to the download link. I did a demonstration yesterday and the streaming quality was really poor. It's a 96K 24-bit song, so it's a really big live rock instrumentation. So I want you guys to hear all the intricacies. But yeah, I wrote this song basically a week before a near-death experience, getting almost struck by lightning. Lightning struck about 10 feet away from where I was standing in the studio that we record in, and it just kind of solidified what we were creating. So that's what you're going to be listening to today.
Sometimes lightning strikes, doesn't it?
No, can you play it from the beginning? Technical difficulties, bear with us.
Yeah,
the beginning of the song. This is not the beginning of the song.
I'm sorry, the intro going into the song, that's like the main part of the song. Yeah, that's why it's really great to download it. I provided you that download link about 30 minutes ago. Okay. The WAV file doesn't open on your computer? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Let's just listen to whatever you have.
Sorry about that. I tried everything for you.
No problem. No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
There seems to be multiple things going on. There was two songs going on at once when you were... listening, everyone.
Anything else this time?
Just.
Is it on standby again?
No, it's more
than standby. That was fun.
Thank you.
It's kind of squirrel. I go back a long way, so you know, if, like being on a carousel, and you're just going kind of going around, and it, all this energy and cool sounds and stuff. No, that was fun.
Wow,
yeah, that was great.
So
I'd like to.
Thank you. That means the world.
I mean, the visual of this would actually be an important component too, because it seems like there's a lot you could do with that. But yeah, that was fun.
So, I've seen this happen so many times before. Like, I kind of sense that, you know, with a lot of music that you can't really compress into, oh, this is a 40-second clip of what's an 8-9 minute song. So I think it's a full work, and I just want to like kind of talk about how that actually ends up working in real life. You know, because you can't, like, certain formats, certain genres, like, it's not fair to try to condense it into like, oh, this is 30 seconds. If you have to find a cool hook, like cool bridge, something that's like a thematic or lyrical element, and then you're right, send the link, be like, hey, like, this is a full listen, it's not a single, and we're gonna get that, you know what I mean? Yeah. But so it's not like, we get that too. And also, like, as far as quality, like, we can all listen through it, never worry too much about production quality, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're like innately listening through anything there. But outside of that, I think it's cool, you know, as you were saying, like, we want to hear the full thing, really. It's kind of not fair to judge until you hear the entire thing, so especially for that subgenre.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Again, another really fun, really like sort of sunny, breezy listen. I'm like a big fan of Tame Impala, and I definitely hear like that. And I love how your voice can play male or female in this track too. So it's like kind of hitting at that, just like this really sweet spot register. I think probably the only thing in terms of sync, the lyrics don't really come through because it's sort of got that psychedelic pass to it, which I think as a music fan, I dig, but like for sync, it could be a little bit of a challenge.
I totally understand that. I actually used to work in sync with We Are Walker. Mm. I think the instrumentation, when you hear it, and I can provide you guys with that information afterwards, the instrumentation is so vibrant. When you do hear it in Dolby, we actually did this mix in Dolby. You weren't listening to it in Dolby, but it's very clear. We worked with our mastering engineer in New Jersey, who actually remastered all of George Harrison's Undiscovered demos for Capitol. So that was one of the biggest things that we did was, hey, we need the vocals to be in the front. So these speakers.
Well, but, and again, yeah, to his point, real world, mm-hmm, utility of sync, you're going to be one track in a multi-track project.
I see.
So they're going to request your stems. Mm-hmm. They're going to rip your mix apart.
Yeah, hey, that's fine.
They're going to use the instrumental, you know, like they're going to use all of that. Three of your lyrics. But I'm just saying, like, mm-hmm, the big part of sync is to not be like, you want your music, your album,
yes,
to be perfect and precious. Once it gets in the hands of an editor, all of that care that you put into it, it'll make you cry because they're just going to rip and they'll pay you. So,
yeah, no, I mean, you know, working, but yeah, it's going to get chopped up. That is fine. I know that, you know, I was a music coordinator, so we did that all the time. I totally get it. But as long as, you know, the spirit is there, I'm very happy and I can support my dreams and continue to create.
I think Jody made a great point, just like the visuals around it will be, you know, when you're listening to it, it already kind of starts to get in your mindset of what that looks like visually. So I think, yeah, the song's there. And now I think building out the other bits around it will be super important. So that's awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. Sorry about the tech difficulties. Okay, next we have Sean Ward.
Hey guys, my name is Sean War. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and I like metal, I like horror, I like EDM, and this song called Butcher Bass House mixes all of that. So hope y'all enjoy. Okay, play from 51 seconds, please. Yes, ma'am.
Every single chef has a secret. Every kitchen has a special ingredient. Think that it's a sauce or a mixer, but it's just a brimfield I dare it send.
Y'all think?
Yeah, that was sick. It's like one of those songs where I think it had a lot going on at once, and you need to like sit with it, and I want to like listen to it again, and I feel like I missed already a few bits and pieces, but yeah, super energetic. I think what instruments, is there any live instruments in it, or what was the production on it?
There are. So the drums and the 808 and bass and everything, they're all automated through Ableton, and the guitar and all the voices are all me.
Cool. And then when you perform it, have you performed it live before?
I have not yet, no.
Okay, cool. I think like, again, just the live element is super important to like figure out how, you know, when you make a song, are you going to keep the integrity of the song when you perform it live? Sometimes, you know, you have so many different ways to kind of incorporate the different like depths of the song live. And so I think, you know, it is such a thick sounding song, like wrapping your head around how it's going to be performed live is going to be super important. But
right.
Yeah, sick.
Thank you.
I have, I have a 16-year-old kid who's a TikTok addict.
Yeah.
And she discovers music from, you know, like across the spectrum of genres. And lately she's been listening to some heavier stuff. And some of it is like, for me, it's not my thing, right? You know, and obviously for sync, that's not going to necessarily work. But I could see a track like this just killing it on TikTok. So if you, you know, not just putting it up and out, it's that whole world is a mystery to me, mm-hmm. how things pop on social, but it does. And then kids find stuff and they get super obsessed with it and you can get tons of streams. It'll definitely find its audience for sure. I think if you did some cool visual stuff with it too, and like working on that live thing, it could be really a fun, it could just find its people.
See, thank you. I appreciate it.
There we go. I think what you're trying to get at is going to be really, really personality based. You seem kind of like that guy who came up here with a lot of energy. Like, I think what she said, pushing it up on social media, trying to get that TikTok thing to hit. Sometimes universal right now, but I'm gonna be on record saying that. But yeah, I think, you know, I would work on yourself like as the star. I would try to build locally, see what you can do from there. That's the kind of story that blows on a TikTok overnight. Or I mean, right now, TikTok's about to get banned. It might be on Threads. Like, you know, I'd say like shift, like chaos breeds opportunity. So yeah, I would think social media should be probably one of your biggest front of the mind thoughts right now on that one.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add, really. I think I agree with all of them. It's interesting. All three of these songs, we can, you know, obviously see the audience and people start smiling when as they get into it, or just when it starts too. But yeah, that was fun. I mean, it's like Transformers or something.
Thank you. All right, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Next, we have Carson.
Hey, my name's Carson Lowe. I'm a singer-songwriter from Nashville, Tennessee, and this song's called The Hearts That Raise Us Up. If you want to start it at like 203, 204, somewhere in there.
Teenage cruising, back roads losing innocence. Time just flying, us too young to give a shit. We stay out all night long, they stay up waiting on headlights to pull into the drive. We sure put a lot.
Have you auditioned for The Voice?
No.
You might think about it.
Maybe.
It, 'cause your voice has a lot of presence.
Thank you.
And, I mean, what an amazing platform it is for, giving artists a boost and getting them started. I would do that. That was cool. Good song.
Thank you, man.
Great voice. Yeah.
What genre do you consider yourself?
I consider myself a songwriter first and an artist out of necessity, because it's, you know,
okay. I love that as a publisher. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So most of the time I'm writing for other people. That's one of my own projects, but pretty much whatever genre fits the song most.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you're in the belly of the beast. You're in the best city of the world for what you want to do. So obviously just keep building that network. You know, I'm not a country person. It's the one genre that I just don't feel qualified to speak about on a creative level. So I'm not going to go down that road, but just, you know, as far as like platform, you know, I would say there's really a moment right now with your Zach Bryans and your people who are kind of crossing and bridging that gap between country and alternative. Like, yeah. I think in a lot of ways that line doesn't exist anymore. And you know what, when the iron's hot, strike. So you might be in a good time and place to kind of push that. So I would kind of, I mean, not make a decision, but decide what direction, at least for this upcoming cycle, you want to go and just go hard at it personally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's sync world doesn't really embrace country as much, and it's not my personal favorite, but that one thing I really love and respect about country and you as a songwriter, I want to say kudos to you. I love the turn of phrase.
Thank you.
I love that we put a lot of miles on the hearts that raise us up. Like, that's the thing that why country resonates for so many is saying the universal without saying it in a way that we've already heard a million times. So I just want to, you know, say thanks for playing that song. And that is a beautiful line. Thank you. Really well done. Gorgeous song.
Thank you.
I love your voice.
Thank you.
I think going off of like what Justin said, country and like folk music is having a really cool moment right now. And I think that genre specifically really allows people to focus on the storytelling there. And like, I think even just sitting and listening to it, you kind of picture the words that are being said to you, and it kind of creates this story. And I think, Noah Kahn's done a really awesome job of pairing like visuals and what's happening with the storytelling in the song. And so, just like what Justin was saying, it's having a really cool moment. So I think, you know, not to bring up content again, but as you launch your solo career alongside working with other artists, I think to capitalize on that and make sure you're really focusing on the storytelling, it's what will push you kind of out of the line of people in Nashville that are doing it a little bit differently. So, but yeah, it was an awesome song.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Can we get Artie up on the mic?
Hello. My name is Artie Trashko. So the song About a Show is actually one I wrote when I was like 14, released like a couple years later. And so far, it's been my biggest song. And after that, I've been switching to the more pop side of things. So honestly, I'm just like showing this to see, is this something I should get back into? And yeah, if you could start it from like 46. Yeah, 46 seconds. Oh, thank you. Gotta rock the Crocs. Say, all sauce and nuts, dancing on the grapes, one foot in. This is their answer. We came up together with their heads.
I mean, LCD Sound System is one of my favorite bands. So, like, listening to that, I was like, oh, this is so sick. Because I feel like had such a comparison. But I think it's interesting you bring up, like, I did something new, and I'm wondering if I should go back to this. And I think the answer there is, like, totally up to you. I mean, if that's the music you're passionate about, but you felt led to go into more mainstream or poppy music, I think it has to align with, like, what you want as an artist. Otherwise, it will not work as well. And so I think, but apart from that, I think that type of music is also having this cool moment with like the whole like MGMT and kind of this like almost like it sounded very like British kind of like dance music to me. And like
late 70s,
yeah, 80s. Yeah, definitely. And that's having such a cool moment right now, even like the Mer on the Dance Floor whole thing that's going on. And so yeah, I mean, I think there's a space for it 100%, and then ultimately it comes down to what you want to do. So, but yeah, that was sick.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I also wrote Yard Act, because Yard Act is another band that kind of borrows from that same era, and I love to see how things that are old keep kind of coming back in through a new lens of people that rediscover the music and, you know, try to incorporate similar sounds. I would say for something like that, because, you know, that's my sweet spot of music in terms of what I love as a fan. I totally agree with like the LCD stuff. I think that production, obviously, and this was like an older recording, right? Yeah. So Production on that kind of thing can be really, like, if you look at like Franz Ferdinand or a band like that, they probably made millions on syncs alone. It's finding like a really crisp riff and having it be really well produced, and like just choosing your sounds and getting that crisp feeling, mm-hmm. and really playing around with the delivery. But like living in this world, like she was saying, like it's a good moment for it. And it's a really great template. It had a bunch of different sections, even in that 45 seconds that we heard. So I feel like there's going to be a lot for people to play with in the song and from a sync standpoint. So really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, just finishing what she was saying, just like clean percussion breaks, that is sync's best friend. They love that because they can cut to it. Where are you from? Or I guess more importantly, where are you living right now?
Well, I was brought up in Houston, but now I'm in Austin.
Okay, Rad. That demo will get you meetings. Absolutely. I think it was solid. I think you absolutely should. Just to kind of expand on what she was saying, I agree. You know, Eurocentric, UK-centric, I think specifically Northern Ireland. I mean, I just keep going back to that in my head. I think also that's the kind of thing that might do better over there first, like the Cage the Elephant paradox, if you will, get popular in England and come back and be popular here. It's UK-centric as far as audience, and it's UK-centric as far as sound. But yeah, I think that was fucking dope. I love it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I spent 3.5 months in London in 78, and Ian Dury and the Blockheads and that kind of era of music. That was the first thing I thought of, but I can't think of the artist. But at any rate, yeah, that's fun. It sounded great. Your voice. Do you perform live? Or?
No, like I've been going to school for more like music production, so I've been more on the back end of things. I mean, I'm always down to perform, but I'm more into that world now, just in the background.
Yeah, I don't know about getting sync deals and stuff and how live, you know, performing live, how important that is. But as far as everything else, it's pretty important.
Yeah.
Somebody's presence and how they deliver this stuff. And, you know, if you can elevate visually what the song does kind of viscerally, mm-hmm. then... I mean, that'd be cool to watch.
Great. Thank
you. Are
you
showcasing?
Showcasing?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, you should absolutely showcase it next year.
Oh, okay.
You will get me on that song.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, can we get Judah the Lion next?
Hello. Thank you. My name is Judah the Lion. I'm from Nassau, Bahamas. This song, I kind of switch between genres based on inspiration and I guess circumstance. This track was given to me by a friend of mine, Frank Liu. I wrote it about my father, and subsequently both of those people have passed since recording this song. So this one goes out to them. This one is called Innocent Beloved.
Show my face to those who never knew me. Inside, if I conceded a race with you, unsatisfied to earn my place with you. Inside, if I alone in a place for two, unsatisfied forever alone.
Beautiful voice. That was amazing. I think it's what we said before. It's hard when you only get a bit of a song because you can't hear kind of the like climax and the up and down of it all. And so I'd love to hear the full thing, but beautiful voice.
Thank you.
In my head, I was kind of hoping that like a string layer would come in or something, like just every, but that's again like sync brain working, like, oh, I needed to do something more, you know. But God, I love the voice. I just I felt like it was so personal and beautiful. But yeah, there was, I really want to hear the rest of the song, and I'd love to hear more going on in the arrangement, but it doesn't necessarily need it. That's just right. My automatic brain going.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, generally echoing sentiments, you know, keep working on it. Like, I think you have a great vocal, produce it out. You know, 99% of the time, this is not how we listen to music. I'm not sitting here like, you know, 15 seconds, fuck this, 15 seconds. Like, we're actually, you know, it's, but obviously time and place, you know, with a time constraint, you can't listen through the entire thing, which is, can be difficult. It's, you know, most people aren't trying to make a 30 second clip. They're trying to make a full work of art. But I think, yeah, like a fan, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, just echo what they, a beautiful voice and vibe to that song. Where did you say you live now?
Nassau, Bahamas.
Oh, okay.
The Bahamas.
Yeah, that, I love that. Mic off? Is this on?
Yeah.
No, sorry. I don't know. I just love the feel of that. And I haven't heard anything like, not that my scope is wide in music, but I haven't heard anything like that in a long time. That's cool.
Thank you.
Artist Marissa, you're next. Also, Sean Michael, are you here? Can you come for a second, please? Thanks.
Hi, my name is Marissa Burwell. The song that I'm going to play is called Catch and Release. I'm coming here from Canada. I'm showcasing this weekend, so it's my first time in Austin, so I'm really excited. But yeah, I make like indie pop rock, so...
Stepped on a ladder where it's too dangerous and I could fall. What do they expect of me when I need to be 10 feet tall? What do they expect?
That was cool. Again, whoever filtered these songs, it's done a great job. That was fun to listen to and kind of engaging from the onset. I kind of lost your voice when that instrumental track came in, but heavier. But I mean, you know, it just could be anything. But yeah, your voice and your delivery would set the character of the song and make sure that's where it should be and people can connect with it. But yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I like that.
I'm actually a little bit more specific than usual on this one. Two things you should do like immediately. Turn down the percussion a little bit. It overbears the vocals. And also for that kind of thing, a lot of times the first thing I'm asking is just to get an instrumental, just like an acapella, honestly. I think a lot of times too, like that's the most important part of it. And I can hear through from that. Like, I think it's cool. I think it's a good start, but I think, you know, definitely turn down the percussion a little bit because it just kind of overbears the rest of it in the mix on that one. This is on. I'm a lot longer.
I totally agree about the drums. Was it programmed too and not live?
No, it was partially live, partially programmed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it with the, just the, and that's just a mix thing, could be the speakers or whatever. But yeah, I really love your voice. I'm really sorry to be so phlegmy. And anyway, I I think you could be another person where I could hear that song stripped back acoustically for a social piece. You know, like if you start building out content online and build a fan base around your lyrics and what you have to say, I think like having it come across rockin' and live like that, or like rockin' and full, is awesome. And I can hear the core songwriting in there feels really like it's solid, rock solid. So you could do all kinds of different iterations of that and it would still resonate.
Cool. Thanks.
My first question is, do you play any instruments?
I play guitar.
Okay, cool. And when you are performing live, do you do guitar the whole time while you're singing?
Not for this song.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And what's the rest of your live band like? What's the structure of it?
Bass, electric guitar, drums, and my acoustic guitar.
Cool. Yeah, I think
and
like,
then some tracks.
Like, nice. Yeah, yeah. I think for that song, first of all, it came in right away, like hot, and which is cool. I think sometimes in like the indie pop world, sometimes it can get like a little too vibey where you're waiting for something to come that doesn't. But right off the bat, that started off quick. And then I think just my mind goes to, again, what it looks like and sounds like live. I think it's really cool that you play guitar and have a full backing band behind you. I feel like that's important for this genre and a song like this. So I'd love to check out more of your music and see what your live show looks like. That was awesome.
Cool. Thanks.
Can we get Knots up, please?
Hi, my name is Knots, K-N-O-T-T-S, at Knots Band, if you want to follow. But this song is called Sunlight. It's my favorite off of my new album.
Why you gotta ghost me? Why you gotta put me on blast? Why you gotta hurt my feelings? I've been trying to let it go. I've been trying to rein it all back. I've been trying to weather. Why you gotta ghost me?
Yeah, the production on that was super sick. Kind of gave me like the Kali Uchis vibe that it's like easy listening, but it's thick as well. So there's a lot to dive into. I think for a song like that, when the production is that built out, I think that having lyrics that go alongside that kind of that aren't too like intense does allow for you to kind of like focus on bits and pieces. But I think also, sometimes you just want to be careful of like the words that you choose, because I feel like they can be timely, and you, I think a positive is that a song is timeless. And so sometimes I think using like lingo and like certain jargon can be difficult because it kind of dates a song.
Yeah.
But that's the only I think feedback immediately. It was really beautiful.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that song is a total vibe.
Thanks.
I really loved it. I will say from a sync standpoint, I was like, oh yeah, this is, you know, I just wrapped on Love is Blind season 6. And I was like, okay, I can definitely see this in a Chelsea Jimmy scene, you know.
That's amazing.
Okay. Except for that percussion is really going to be rough.
Yeah.
So, but that's nothing. That's an alt mix for sync, you know.
Okay.
Like, I just think overall the vision for the song, your voice, the lyric, I don't even actually mind so much the kind of the jargon. I just think it hits a certain age group, and like if that's your target, it's going to resonate with them. And, you know, you got like a good 5 years with a slang term, maybe by the time the mainstream it's all played out, you know. So it should be okay because it's a personal expression too. It's where you are in any given time. But I do think, you know, that is, there's a reason songs are timeless, and there's a reason certain other songs are timely. And it just depends on what you're going for as an artist. So
thank you so much.
Sounds like, I mean, I get a very first Lord album, all the Joe Little songs, as far as being atmospheric and broody.
thank you.
I think that's, you know, the thing about that, and it kind of speaks to what you were saying, is like that specific sound is very, very tied to a specific time, mm-hmm. 2014 through like 2018, 2019, mm-hmm. to the sense where like, we'll have, you know, like shallow catalog, like requests for things like that sound like Lord in that time period, which can be good and bad, like music cylindrical. We'll probably be back to that soon. I would say from a major label, a major publisher perspective, the first thing that's going to come to mind is going to be the soundscape sounds a little bit dated, just to be completely honest with you. Mm-hmm. But there's something there. And the reason why that worked in the first place is because it works and it's cool. So I would say maybe just tweak that a bit. Mm-hmm. And you know what they said? Like you guys, you don't have to like cram percussion in if it doesn't make sense at first. Like it's all good. Like acoustics are fine, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like less is more a lot of times in that sense for demos. But I think you got a good starter.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, I play drums, so I'm all about the presence of drums, but and I love the part the guy was or girl was playing on drums. It's just that it was way it's kind of covered up. Yeah. Rhythmically what you were doing, but if it's set back way back in the mix, that would be really cool.
Oh, that's a good,
because your voice, at the end of the day, it's about how the lead singer connects. And what I tell everybody is there's one talent that you have to have, and that's the talent to connect. And it's usually the voice that does that.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as you could keep that voice out front and the energy of the track supports it, yeah, you'll do great.
Thanks for the feedback.
I just had one last thing to say about the percussion like that.
Yeah.
Just from a sync perspective also, we often are listening for how a song builds over time. I think when you made that point earlier too, that sort of scattered percussion in the back end could really intensify the emotion. Again, adjusting the mix so that you have this sense of intensification and a feeling of ramping up emotions. Okay. And it's hard when you haven't heard the whole song, but I just thought of that and thought I should mention.
Thank you.
You know, the Police were really good at winding things up in the verse and then letting it kind of flow in the chorus.
Appreciate it.
Okay, cool. Before we get to Dreamscape, we have someone I wanted to get to. Geraldine, you want to come on up?
Hi, my name is Geraldine Espino. I release music under the artist name of No Thanks Man. My whole thing is trying to use unexpected instrumentation to create a different sound for these indie songs. I wrote all the music, performed all the parts, used virtual instruments when necessary. All the singing, all of it. So this is my song, Three Shots.
Three shots rang out in the middle of the night, and I ran as far as I could go. 3 days later, it was safe. Go home, but I'll never go there again. Three shots rang out in the middle of the night, and I ran as far as I could go. 3 days later, it was safe to go home, but I'll never go there again. I don't know what you want me say about that day and everything after. Why do you want?
Thank you. Yeah, that was sick. So you were saying you did everything
played everything, sang everything.
Everything, sang everything, yeah. Mixed.
That's
had
cool.
Some help recording the vocals.
Yeah, that's awesome. My mind immediately, not to like bring up other artists when I am talking about it, but it reminded me of like Foster the People kind of early. Like again, we're talking back to different artists in different times, but I think there's a reason that things like that stick around and again are now having more moments a few, you know, 10 years after they had their first kind of introduction to the world. And I think what there was like a cool like xylophone. What was
that? I use the marimba a lot.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sound. And I think I'm interested to hear what you have to say from the sync side, because I think it was like very kind of, there was this, it's like this moody kind of sound. And again, it goes to what it looks like visually. But also you saying that you do everything yourself. I'm very interested to see what a live performance of that would look like. It's like early Ed Sheeran doing like 8 different things on stage. And I think that was something that people thought was so cool about what he does. And so my mind went to that. So I'd love to see what that looks like, but really cool.
Thank you.
You and Judah the Lion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean it was clearly very cinematic. You know, I don't know if you watched I watch a lot of TV. The latest season of Fargo is absolutely brilliant. It was so, so good. And it felt like it lived in that world, in this sort of, you know, dark, but there's a wink in there. And there's, you know, it's clever, but it's not trying too hard. It, I guess the only thing from a sync perspective is highly specific lyrics, right? Like, so what's the scene that's going to call for a song about 3 shots, you know, like gotcha. It's going to be really very, very narrow. And you're going to be waiting like 10 years for a scene that could work with those lyrics. Now, again, this is your artistry. So that is a totally separate thing with your artistic point of view and your mode of creation. If you wanted to do like sync focused instrumentals, that's a different story, because there's always a call for very unique sounds. I mean, if you look at like Helder, who did the, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, who did the Chernobyl soundtrack and the Joker soundtrack, the score rather. She's brilliant, and she sources sounds, you know, out in nature and in buildings, and, you know, brings them back to the studio and really produces and crafts them to sound like, this doesn't sound like a block of cement. It sounds like a, you know, weird tonal instrument somehow. So just in terms of like broadening your already sort of cinematic dark world, and percussive, like I think percussion works really well in sync as well. Not just in film scores, but sort of in marketing. So it's something to think about, but I wouldn't change your artistic point of view for your albums. I would just, those are some things I'm listening for.
If you don't mind me asking, do artists ever produce multiple versions? Like if I did change the lyrics just for sync? Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you. Like a lot.
Yes. Okay. But I guess just real quick to kind of, okay, on the sonic plate of that song, if you will, like what's the most important? Like, what's the steak on the plate as opposed to the potatoes or the side dish? Is it the vocal or the instrumentation?
Oh, well, I mean, I come from a composer mindset, so I end up thinking more about the instrumentation. But as I've progressed, I've started to realize how important the main vocal really is, no matter what I think, in
cool.
a way.
I think the instrumentation is really strong. I think that's the star of that song. I think you lower the vocals a little bit. I think you lower the reverb towards the back, and you really focus on that being the meat on the plate, if you will, is all the instrumentation. But I think that's what's going to make it stand out at the end.
Okay.
Cool song.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, agreed. I don't really have anything to add, but it was cool and dark and vibey. And
great.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. And thank you.
Dreamscape, we have you. I think this is our last one because it's 12:25, so we got to wrap up soon, right?
First of all, thank you all for being here. This is really an honor, so I really appreciate it. My name is Max. I'm the drummer of a band called Dreamscape. We are based in Miami, Florida. I'm here with my guitarist, Samir. We are like an alternative pop rock project. We all come from like different influences musically, so I'm more like rock. Samir was like influenced by blues and our singer's like more pop. So we kind of like combine those in our music. So this is our debut single, Letting Go of Nothing. Yeah.
Turn all the lights out so I can find my way.
Thank you.
That was cool. It felt great. Yeah. And, you know, you play well together. I like the lead singer's voice a lot. Just make sure the vocals out front.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less compression on the drums, but.
So full band, four piece, right?
Five. We have keys as well.
All right, rad.
No, it's just me and my guitar.
I'll bring everyone next time. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
yeah, it's cool. I think I see kind of the Miami influence a bit there, too. You definitely have, like, that vibe coming in. Yeah, I mean, I think what's the best way to put this? Look, I think that, I mean, for all this stuff, you guys, at the end of the day, just put yourself in the right place at the right time. You know what I mean? Like, so much of this industry and so much of what you're trying to do is obviously skill and talent, but it's also luck and just being at that spot when the opportunity comes. Like, go to New York, go to LA, go to Miami, like, get out there, be persistent, and get, and, you know, just keep taking shots. You know what I mean? The only way you fail is if you stop trying.
Yeah.
And keep writing.
Yeah.
You know, keep writing and recording. I know that getting out here is very expensive. You know, it's expensive for me, you know? I would say with this particular song, you know, it sort of took me in two almost different directions. Mm-hmm. So it set me up thinking the song was going to go in one place, and then it sort of kicked in more rocking. Mm-hmm. It was a little jarring for me as a listener. I love her voice, and I thought you guys were going to do this sort of like maybe keep it more in an R&B space. I think that's going to probably come from fusing and like maybe maturing as a band too. And really the more you write and the more you play, the more you're really going to hone in on what your true sound is. Like, it was interesting that you said you all come from different backgrounds, because in a song like that, I can hear it. And, you know, if you're co-writing, you're like, okay, this part should really kick in, you know, it might be okay to let that ebb and flow, not within the songs, but within the album, you know, across songs, and show that range of abilities and styles.
Yeah.
But let a song kind of sit in an identity and not try to get everything all in there.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
I think you were maybe the only person who was in a band or that it was a full group. Obviously you're speaking for them, but, that's cool. 'Cause we manage mainly bands, and I can appreciate how all the different kind of sounds and what everyone brings to the table kind of putting into one big blender and seeing how it comes out. I think kind of like what we were saying before is making sure you guys are just gelled and like your live show. I think there's a lot of cool bands that like make cool music, but what is that element that kind of takes you to the next level? And I think that's having the synergy and the jams and really letting, you know, there's more of you on stage. So it's like, use that to your, you know, benefit. And I think like just practicing together and like spending time together and really honing in on how it feels when all of you are up there as an entire group, is really, really important. So I think, the song is cool, but it's like what you guys as a group, I think, is just, it's a really cool tool. And so, to make sure you use it to the best of your ability, I think is important.
For sure. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.